Good morning. And as Arian said earlier, happy Mother's Day. We're going to finish out Romans today. And it's ironic how timely God is, because Paul closes out the book of Romans talking a lot about women and speaking of women in ministry with him. And so let's begin in chapter 16. He says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Caesarea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has in need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many, and of myself also. It's widely believed that Phoebe actually delivered, Paul had her deliver this letter to the Romans, to the Roman church. When he speaks of, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Caesarea. And the context, if you study the word servant there, it equates to minister. Minister. So she ministered in the church of Caesarea. So Paul is sending Phoebe, and he's sending as part of the closing of the letter. He begins to, in verses 3 through 16, he speaks, he's identifying believers in Rome for several reasons, for Phoebe to be in touch with and for them to receive her. But one of the purposes of this letter and this closing of the letter, Paul is identifying believers in Rome to give Phoebe a list of people to call on when she arrives there. He's directing her who is to receive the letter. He expresses importance of godly relationships among believers. He's also affirming the places of leadership among women in the early church. Priscilla, along with Aquila, led a home church there. And he speaks of several others. He mentions in those next few verses, in verse 3, he mentions Mary, obviously Priscilla, Junia. He mentions Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. He says to greet Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Rufus's mother, also Julia, Nerus's sister, and on he mentions several ladies there, along with some men, and he's telling Phoebe, these are the ones that are to receive you, that you take the letter to first. They are going to help continue and build the church there, and he's telling them to receive her and to assist her in whatever is needed to continue to further the church in Rome. And so he speaks of the significance of women in ministry and in their part in establishing the church and serving in the church, which is of high importance. And then in verse 17, he begins to speak to some specific things in the church. Verse 17, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Avoid them. Now, one thing we need to understand, he's speaking to believers in the church. In the church, this message is in the church. He's saying, be careful of those who cause division. Again, he's speaking of believers in the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he speaks a little bit to this. He says in verse 10, yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral of this world or the covetousness, the covetous, extortioners, idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother. It's real clear. Paul is speaking of those who cause division. He's speaking of other believers in the church. You're thinking, well, gosh, Pastor, that doesn't happen. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. That's why he wrote it. That's why he wrote it. In Corinthians, he says, but now I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, covetous, an idolater, reveler, a drunkard, extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside, meaning outside the church? Do you not judge those who are inside? You see, we use this crutch at times when someone confronts someone and we say, well, don't judge me. Paul is real clear. We're to judge not the outsiders, not those outside the church. We're to judge inside the church. We're to judge ourselves. We're to keep ourselves in order. We're to keep each other accountable. And that's what Paul is speaking of here. He's saying in the church, those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. Those who, Paul's saying, those who call themselves a believer, a Christian, yet they sow discord or division in the church. He says, don't have anything to do with them. Don't have anything to do with them. And you see, we might think, well, gosh, Pastor, that doesn't happen in church. Huh? Wrong. It does. It does. And what happens is when we get in the flesh and the flesh takes over, that's when those things happen. Division and discord is sown because I want my way, or I want it the way I want it, or this is how I see it, so I'm going to make sure everybody knows that. And I'm not going to stop until I get my way. You see, that's not healthy. And Paul's saying, not only don't do it, don't have anything to do with those that do. In fact, he says, put them away. In other words, get rid of them. So Paul has a clear message, the church. And there's another subject that touches on this, and that's gossip. Gossip in the church. Now, we don't like to think that, oh, well, that doesn't happen in the church. Yes, it does. It does. It does. And sometimes it's very subtle. Sometimes it's very blatant. Sometimes it's gossip spoken under the guise of prayer. Pray for so-and-so because of this, that, and the other that's going on and all the details. It's gossip. And there's two ends to gossip. The giving and the receiving. So if you receive gossip, you're just as guilty as the gossiper, the one delivering it. Gossip is a two-way street. And guess what? It's a two-way street that's destructive, divisive, and sows discord. And so Paul's very clear about this. Very clear about divisive people in the church. He says in verse 18, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Deceive the hearts of the simple, or those that are not mature in the faith. By smooth words and flattering speech. He says they don't serve Jesus, they serve their own belly, meaning their own desire, their own appetite, their own wishes, their own wants. They don't serve Jesus, they're serving themselves, is what Paul is saying. And this includes many preachers today, in today's world. It includes many preachers. Philippians chapter 3, Philippians 3, 18 and 19. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. He's speaking of carnal Christians, carnality in the church, people who are just serving themselves. And he says, they serve their God as their belly. In other words, their own desires, again, he's saying. And their glory is their shame. Second Peter, Peter speaks a little bit to this. Second Peter chapter 2 in verse 1, beginning in verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of the truth will be blasphemed. But covetousness, they will exploit you by covetousness with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. In other words, it won't sleep, it will come. Their destruction will come. They're covetous. They sow deceptive words. They sound good. They say things that maybe sound right. But it's not, and this is why it's so important. I tell people all the time, if you hear something, test it with the Word. Does it line up with the Word? Does it line up with truth? You know, there's, like I said, Paul's talking about this. This includes many preachers. You know, a lot of times we listen to stuff on Facebook or on TV, on the television or social media, and we think, wow, that's good. But we don't really listen to it and look at it and discern it, because there's a lot of deception being sown, even from the pulpits. But especially with social media, the way it is, and how broad and general it is, and how many people it reaches far and wide, guard your hearts and minds, and be wise. Be wise. In fact, we're going to see that scripture in a minute. He'll tell us to be wise in knowing what is good. Know the difference. And sometimes it's very subtle. It's very subtle. And it may sound great, but when you really compare it with Scripture, it's off. It's not biblical, or it's not scriptural. And you might say, well, what's the big deal with that? The big deal is people get misled in that. People get things, and I'm trying to think about right off the top of my head a simple example. Okay, you've heard it said, rebuke the enemy, rebuke Satan. When you look at the biblical thing, it says, the Lord rebuke you. Even the archangel didn't rebuke him. He said, the Lord rebuke you. The power of rebuking is in Jesus and His authority and His name. We don't rebuke the devil. You know what James 4:7 says? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, how do you resist the devil? Through the truth. It says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil. How do you submit to God? You put your will aside for His will. You put the Word in, and you operate based on His Word, not on your word. And you see, it's very subtle. You're like, well, what's wrong with rebuking the devil? Well, that's not what the Word says. It's not what the Word says. And, you know, God doesn't expect us to be perfect, but He does expect us to use the Word and rightly divide the Word and to use it correctly. And so that's why it's important. Don't believe everything you hear. Test it. Test the Spirit. Test it with the Word. And so Paul is saying, we need to do this. He said, because there's many will go out by smooth words, flattering speech, deceiving the hearts of the simple. Don't be simple. Get in the Word, grow up, mature, and know a little bit about God's Word, so you won't be deceived by everything that's going on in the world that is deceptive. Verse 19, he says, for your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you, here it is, I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil, the word simple meaning innocent. So he's saying, be wise in what is good. How are you going to be wise in what is good? Knowing good from evil, knowing right from wrong, knowing the word is just twisted just a little bit. You got to study the word. You got to be in the word. And he says, and simple concerning evil, innocent concerning evil. Don't let evil suck you in or draw you in. And the best way to do this is stay focused on the word and stay focused on the things of Jesus. He says in verse 20, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. And this is a reference to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where he says, he's speaking to the serpent, and he says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Satan, the God of peace, will crush Satan. We don't have to crush Satan. God is crushing Satan, and God is going to crush him finally in the end. And then he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. There's several times from here forward, at least I've counted 5 or 6 times that he speaks of that, or someone in Scripture speaks of that going forward. In the last place, do you know where it's spoken of last? Anybody know? Well, I'm going to read it to you as soon as I can get there. It's spoken of in the last verse in the Bible. Jesus is saying, he who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And then verse 21 of Revelation 22. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is why any of us are here today. It's the only way, and it's the only reason any of us are here today. And so, verse 25, now to him who is able to establish you. Now to him who is able to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So Paul is saying in Romans, now to him who is able to establish you, to set your feet on the rock, on the solid rock, on solid ground, to establish you in the Word, to establish you in the Spirit, to establish you in Christ. He is able. And then he says in Ephesians, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all above all that we ask or think. I want you to stop and think about that. Could we put Ephesians back up again, 3:20? Exceedingly, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. So I'm going to ask you to think. Think about that. Think about that. I mean, that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. God is limitless. That's what he's saying. Paul's saying he is limitless. And there's so much more that he has for us if we'll just have the desire to seek it and receive it. You see, we think we come to church and we do little devotions a couple days or maybe every day for 5 or 10 minutes and we think we got it going on. God has so much more. There's so much. We can't live long enough to to receive everything he has. I mean, he's limitless. But what he wants us to do is to be receiving more and more. He wants us to receive exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think. But we got to be open to it. We got to open to receive that. We got to say to Lord God, I'll give you time. I'll give you the time to pour into me. We talked about rain down. We sang rain down earlier. He can't rain down on you if you're staying under an umbrella somewhere in your own world. Right? You got to be open to the rain. You got to be open to exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or even think. You see, we think we know all there is to know about God, and this is how he operates. No. He is so far beyond my pea brain that I can't think of everything he can do. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything I can understand or imagine. And that goes to all of us. So why don't we desire that, God, more? Whatever it is, I'm open to it. And because, you know why? Because it doesn't line up with something. Well, that doesn't make sense. Or I don't understand that. Well, if you can make sense and understand God completely, you don't need God. You see, there's more. There's more. There's exceedingly abundantly more than we have even received at this point in our life, if you're a Christian. And he says, exceedingly abundant, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. To him be the glory. You see, that's our purpose, to glorify God. That's our purpose, to glorify God. Verse 26, Romans 16, but now... Well, let me finish verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the gospel, the true gospel, Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, the mystery of Christ was kept secret for so long, but now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures, made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God. Now made manifest. You see, the mystery is no more. If it's still a mystery to you, it's a mystery because you're not in the Word. It's a mystery because you're not open to hearing God. Because the mystery is no more. It's been revealed in His Word. It's been revealed in Scripture. And why? According to the commandments of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. The mystery has been revealed to us through God's Word so that we will be faithful to the Word. Amen. Faithful to the commandment. He says, so that be obedience to the faith. God wants us to stand and stay obedient to the faith. You're going to be challenged. Life's going to go sideways and upside down. People are going to say things, do things, come against you, not believe you, fuss at you, call you things. He said, stay obedient to the faith. Remain obedient. Trust Him who can do exceedingly abundantly more than you ask or think. Even in those situations. God, I'm standing. I'm catching hell from every direction, but I'm standing. Because I have faith and I believe you are able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I can see or understand now. Amen? Amen. So there's no mystery. It's Jesus revealed. And then he says, he closes the letter out. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. To God who is alone wise. You think you're wise? God alone is wise. And so that's why, worship team, come up. That's why we need to depend on Him for our wisdom. Depend on Him. And you know, you can't just sit around and say, okay, God, I want your wisdom. pour it out. It's right here. It comes from here. It comes from the Word, and it comes from His Spirit manifesting and revealing the truth of the Word to you. That's where your wisdom comes from. You see, you can't get wisdom by osmosis. You come to church, and you think you're going to get wisdom, or you keep your Bible close by on your desk or on your shelf, or you carry it around. Man, I'm going to get wisdom. I'm just going to rub this thing all over me. I'm going to get this wisdom. No, you have to open it, and you have to get into it, and you have to study it. Amen? Hey, God's an awesome God. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word. It's truth and life. Thank you for your Word that is wisdom. It's all wisdom. And God alone, you are wisdom. Lord, I pray this morning on this occasion to celebrate, ladies, I pray that if there's someone here who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I pray today would be their day. Today would be the day that they recognize their need for a Savior. That they recognize that they can't do life alone and have a real, true life. I pray, God, that they would take down that wall that's kept them from Jesus. That they would confess their sins. That they would repent. And that they would ask Jesus to forgive them right now. And that by faith they would receive Him as their Savior and their Lord. Would you do that if that's you? If that's you, just be honest with yourself. God knows. He already knows. And you know. If it's not real, if Jesus is not real in your life, you know it. So why don't you make Him real in your life right now, today? It's a matter of faith. It's a step of faith. It's a step of releasing, letting go of yourself, and just saying, Lord, I believe and I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if you do that this morning, before you leave, or before the day is over, share with somebody that today I gave my life to Christ and I received Him as my Savior. Tell somebody that today. Lord, we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.